Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
The biggest names and the biggest games right here.
Woo! For King G, where comfort is king.
2, 3, 4. Hey, well, let's go. Triple M rocks the NRL.
Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Footy's back and we're excited, and this man is back, which is also incredibly exciting for us, Mr. Peter Sterling. Sterling, lovely to see your smiling face. How have you coped? What have you been up to?
This is exciting. That's the word. Look, I've had a great, I can't say I've had a great time because it's been such a dark time, but I guess, you know, the silver linings have been the family interaction. Spent a lot more time with wife and daughter, and reading a couple of books a week. I've been able to play some golf. So I've filled it fairly comfortably, but, you know, still feel for everybody, especially those in, you know, tough situations with work and that.
Yep.
But it's wonderful to be back. Thoroughly enjoyed the Shriek. Well, I must admit, I've only seen two games. I haven't seen the Titans-Cowboys game as yet because I was preparing for the other match. But I liked what I've seen, and I was one of those people, Tony, that I thought when May 28th was mentioned, it was only 67 days later, I thought, well, that's the height of optimism to think that we could be back. But, boy, got to overcome some obstacles, some unforeseen.
Yep.
But, you know, it's. I think the great thing is that, what, along with the Korean K-League, Nicaragua and Tajikistan or some of their leagues over there, we lead the world when it comes to elite sport. So we haven't done that for a long time.
And did you like what you saw? Not only are we back and back seemingly early, we're back with a new raft of rules. Well, one really, isn't it? The six again, one referee. We've talked about a little bit about it here already this afternoon, but the game was quick.
Yeah, look, I'm really encouraged by it, but I'm not getting carried away.
Yep.
You know, there'll be, even last night we saw, I think the concussion protocol is going to have a huge effect on our game on the back of the six again call. Yeah, with the fatigue factor coming in, and that's been very, very evident. If you lose one or two players through concussion, you know, there'll be talk of an 18th man. Now, we're playing 18 games straight, don't forget. No break for State of Origin, so the workload. But I love the fact we're going to get players who are going to be playing a lot more minutes. It is going to be a war of attrition, which is the way the competition should be. But I just, you know, give me a couple of rounds to just have a look at what it means to the game, but certainly what we've seen so far. You know, the concern, I suppose, to some degree, is that teams are going to fight it harder to stay in the contest once they are kind of on the way out of it. Mm-hmm. So I can see some big score lines. What the smallest margin so far, the three games, is
would have been the
Titans.
12. I gave Gordon 8.5 stars, so I know the score. Hey, Stella, what about the Parramatta Eels? Into favouritism now, I think, with Melbourne Storm.
What, Fletch, just
go, I know.
On the quiet, mate.
What do you think? What impressed you on Thursday night?
I was impressed with their patience. And I thought that what disappointed me was probably, I think, 13 minutes into the second half, the game, Brisbane were gone and Parra were in a position to really win that. And we came up with three really ordinary sets in a row. And that was an opportunity, to nail it. But we didn't lose our way. We nailed it in the last 15 minutes instead of then, you know, and that's where Mitch and Dylan probably have to just be a little bit better of assessing that and taking advantage of it. But defensively, what I think we've allowed 14 points in three games, and that's been the big concern for me. You know, we come out of last year, Melbourne in two games scored 96 against us, Cronulla 42 in one game. Premiers don't allow that amount of points when they get beaten during the course of a season. But if we've addressed the defensive side of our game, good depth in roster, good coverage in positions except hooker. I thought Reed Marnie was our best the other night. Mm. We lose him. Ray Stone's a really good, honest player, and he's tough as. But we do lose something there. But like I am, mate, quietly optimistic at the start of most seasons.
After the first two losses, I think everyone started changing their tips for the grand final and taking the Roosters out, but they were pretty impressive. Do you think, I know it's still early days, but can they go back to back to back?
Undoubtedly, yeah. You know, tougher when you lose Cooper Cronk and Latrell Mitchell. They're big slices out of you know, what has helped you be successful previous. But I thought Flanagan's good. And I mentioned last night, Victor Radley is such a positive influence on Kyle Flanagan because he can play first receiver and just take pressure off Flanagan until he really gets into the role of things. And what about the – how old are the Morris boys?
Yeah, I know. 40, yeah, I know. 44.
Some of them. That's in the shade.
That was like Brett Morris's chase.
The double chase.
Amazing.
And after that, Tony, that I reckon that was halfway through the tackle count, and then they rolled the ball in goal, yep. And he was came flying in. You know, so their recruitment is remarkable. When you have a look at who they've brought to the club, Akiri, Angus Crichton, they bring Cooper Cronk into the fold, and then all of a sudden they bring the Morris boys in, yeah. And, you know, they're just – They are more astute in who they bring into the club than any other club, and you know, that's a big part of their success as well.
It's going to be fascinating to see how the coaches who have been sitting back and watched his first three games, how they approach, because the big question is, how do you stop that roll-on? Because once it happened, it was like panic station, wasn't it? Once you know the team got the couple six agains with Parramatta, it happened against the Broncos, and certainly in the second half, then you know they're weary, as you said, and fatigued. What measures – now, Fletch thought that the Roosters – held up pretty well, like the player, you know, not in standing position, rather than the wrestle.
Yep.
There was some talk that Parramatta got off the line pretty quickly because the 10 metres may be more difficult to police. How, if you're Bellamy or whoever you are, how are you thinking I'm going to be able to impact on this new rule?
Well, on kick returns, I hold down on the first tackle.
First tackle.
If you're going to get penalised or a play on against you, you're better off having it happen first tackle than late in the count.
Yep.
So, you know, I'd be policing that fairly well if I'm had the whistle out there. You've just got to be really disciplined. You know, the first 10 minutes is vital, isn't it? Like if that role starts to get against you, then momentum is one of the hardest things in our game to stop. But the good sides find a way. They'll either dive on a loose ball or they'll force an error or do something. Now, even the other night, Brisbane, they didn't touch a footy for the first 7 minutes, and then they got a really good shot on Mike Acevo, and the ball was spilt, but they handed it back three or four tackles later. That was their opportunity to then turn things around and you know, play good field position and hang on to the football for a while.
Yep.
So once you do turn that momentum around, you can't hand it back straight away as the Broncos did. So, yeah. But as I say, I'm really encouraged because I love the fact that you know, the way the guys train, it's crazy that some of them play 45 minutes. You know, they're professional. They train. I love the fact that we're going to see, you know, some of our bigger guys have to stay out there longer. You know, a guy like Junior Paulo, he played 57 minutes straight, like invaluable. But all of a sudden, you know, the likes of Trbojevic and Cameron Murray and these guys, they are.
Do you think now the discussion about the interchange coming down is now finished? Do you think this...
Yeah.
What's happened now, we've got the right balance?
Well, it's more of a consideration, isn't it? I was a fan of the interchange going down to six until all of this happened. Because the thing is with interchange, we're eight now, but it's really seven, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because every coach keeps one player back for that last 10 minutes. So if you go to six interchange, it's really five.
Mm.
And then, as I say, with concussion protocols in there and this new fatigue in the game, then all of a sudden an 18-game straight, it's a big ask for our players. But it's also an ask we should be able to have with what the way that they train and what they do. I do think that interchange will probably just go on the back burner for a little while, Fletch. Yeah.
You mentioned Victor Radley. Sadly, he has been 1 week he gets for that
yes,
tackle.
Yes, unless he goes to the judiciary and challenges it. But you'd imagine they just take the 1 week.
Was it carryover points? Obviously,
yeah,
had a few,
because he had carryover points. So that was on that tackle on Gagai.
Yeah.
And then Jared Warrior Hargreaves has just copped a fine for that high shot on Alex Johnston. And we know he has heap of carryover points.
Well, JWH last year, six charges, got found guilty four times. It's kind of I thought he's really unlucky, Radley. That was a good shot. So for him to miss out and Jared to be, it's,
yeah.
Anyway.
Messing with my head as well. Victor sadly now won't be able to chat with us. He's got some meetings for it. Trent Robinson is going to join us, so it'll be fascinating to get the coach's viewpoint right here on the Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Sunday Scrumby.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M rocks footy.
Saturday Scrum right now, though. Thanks to King G, where comfort is king. And can I just say, look, I did just say that Trent Robinson was going to come on because Victor Radley couldn't come on because he had a meeting to go to. So Trent Robinson was coming. I've now been told by producer Charlie, who's what, 12, 13 years old?
Mm.
He's told me that that's not the case, that the message he sent on the computer, Sterlo, and you should be able to help me here,
yep,
was saying that Victor Radley actually has a meeting with Trent Robinson.
He forgot with.
Well, what he's written is, Radley has to cancel as he's got to go do a meeting, Trent Robinson now.
Mm, he's left out the apostrophe on the he's.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what's gotta? Gotta's not a
what's
word.
What's gotta?
What about in this current climate? Could we Zoom the meeting, maybe?
We could. We could have Victor and
Trent. Everybody else.
Victor and Trent.
During the meeting.
Victor wouldn't be in trouble with Trent, would he? Is that, would the meeting be about that? About his tackling technique?
No, whether they're going to fight it, I'd say.
Genius. Absolute genius. So sadly, Trent Robinson isn't here, but that's all thanks to Charlie. Love it. But Sturlo is with us, Fletch as well. And right now, score more value this NRL season with a Ladbrokes same game multi. Combine all your favourite markets into one big bet. Remember, gamble responsibly. And Tom Hackett is with us. G'day, Tom.
Hello, Tony. Not as exciting as Trent Robinson or Victor Radley, but hopefully we can get some insights on the punters.
Absolutely. And this afternoon, it's huge, obviously. Everybody's second team, the Warriors, up against everybody's seventh team, the Dragons. My first team, clearly. Who do the punters like this afternoon?
Punters very keen on the Dragons here, Tony. They'll be back into $1.45. Basically, been one-way traffic. You know, obviously, everyone's rooting for the Warriors here, but punters aren't keen on them. They're out to $2.75.
The Sharks up against my Tigers. Who do the punters have with this one?
Interesting betting game. This one. The Sharks are still the favourites at $1.80, but the West Tigers have been easily the best back in this one. They're into $2. If the money keeps going like it has been sort of the last few hours, it might start at $1.90 a piece here. So Sharks are favourites, but all the money comes to the Tigers.
Yeah, Tom, standout game. Obviously, Melbourne up against the Raiders. Where's the support there?
Yeah, it should be a ripper this way. And the Raiders did beat the Storm twice in the tail end of last year, but all the money has come for the Melbourne Storm. They'll be one of the best back teams of the weekend, actually. They're now into $1.53. Canberra Raiders, pretty unwanted with punters. They're now up to $2.50.
Tom, thanks so much. Score more value this NRL season with the Ladbrokes same game multi. Combine all your favourite markets into one big bet. Remember, gamble responsibly. Now, Fletch, before we let you go and Gerd strides back into the studio, I understand it's story time. What's happened?
Well, so Charlie, the producer, asked me this morning, we've got a new segment called Fletcher's Story Time, and I didn't know how, I got plenty of X-rated ones, and I said, can I go M? He said, no, it's got to be PG. Mm-hmm. So this might be pretty boring, especially for you, Emma. So I was a plumber in my former life. Okay. 19, I was a tradesman, so I left school, so I wasn't really that sensible. And I had an apprentice with me. And what we're over at St. George, and we were laying a big, so it's 12-inch pipe, stainless steel. It was a big fire hydrant line. And there was a stairs, and we were in a trench. There was a stairs going over, so I couldn't see my apprentice. He was guiding it in to the other pipe that was already in the trench. Mm-hmm. I had to go to footy training. It was 4 o'clock. And I said, are you ready, Simon? And I was at one end. I'm going to roll it, push it in. Now, these are big pipes. And he was a novice at this. And I said, are you ready, Simon? He's going, oh, yeah. No, wait. So we waited for about, and I'm looking at my watch. I said, mate, come on. Are you ready? And he just went, oh, yeah, go. And I pushed it, heard a scream, jumped out of the trench, went and looked in the, he's holding his hand. I completely severed his middle finger and his forefinger, gone. So I wrapped it up in this filthy bit of rag, took him to St. George Hospital and went to the emergency. And I said, look, mate, I've got to get a training. What can you do here? So he got microsurgery, which was great. Good news. 6 months he was off work. He came back the day of the 6 months, and the boss said, you're sitting around the yard, and the boss goes, Simon, Simon's not his real name.
Okay.
Simon, you go with Fletch, get back on the horse, you know, just go back to it. So we said, sweet, let's do it again. So we were doing another job, and he was in the bathroom cutting copper pipe. I was in the kitchen on a drill, and I'm drilling as, and I'm going, we're going through a concrete slab. I'm going, this doesn't feel right. I thought it must be a bit of Rio or something. Anyway, I kept going and I've gone pop. I went through a cable, a conduit. And in the plumbing game, when you earth the electrical wire, it goes through copper pipe. So he was cutting it. He got electrocuted, threw him across the room, shattered the shower screen. The noise was horrific. I thought he was brown bread. Needless to say, he quit as a plumber. But years later, about 4 or 5 years later, I was at Jackson's on George, cutting a rug, and Simon came up to me and goes, and I'd had a few, so I didn't really recognize him. He said, Simon, Fletch, it's Simon. You chopped my fingers off and electrocuted me. I said, I'm so sorry. What do you do now? And he goes, I'm a chef. I was a chef here. And I went, oh, wow. So I have never eaten there, just in case he squared up.
I blame Simon. After the first incident, if you front for the second, it's your own fault.
Yeah, the boss, still, the boss said, just go flex because he was a little bit nervous of me, obviously, for obvious reasons. So he said, let's get the relationship back to where, and the first day back. And the thing is, if he had gone through the copper pipe cleanly and he was earthing it, he's no longer with us.
Yeah.
I can't believe you took him to the hospital, but you didn't stay. You went to training.
I had to go training. Gus was coach. He was evil, man.
I thought when he came up to you in the club, the afro would have given it away, but that it was Simon. That's what you get when you get electrified.
Frizzy.
The good news is that his fingers that were put back on look better than your one that you've got sticking out there right now.
It's off-putting.
Fletch, thanks so much for joining us. We'll catch up with you again very soon. Girds will come back in. We'll have a look at these games this afternoon and tonight on the Saturday Scrum.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum. For King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Ryan Girdler is back with us. Sterlo is still here. Emma Lawrence, I'm Tony Squires. Before we get on to having a look at the Dragons and the Warriors, Sterlo, we've been talking this afternoon. I know Wayne Bennett said in terms of South Sydney, there's more people to talk about than just Latrell Mitchell. But he played the full 80 minutes. I think he might have had a little break
very
on the wing.
Stint,
on the wing. What did you make of his performance? Effort was there.
Yeah, I thought the longer the game went, the better he got. Actually, the first half found it hard to get involved, but I think there were some good signs there. We all knew it was going to take time, and I am confident that the second half of his season is going to be better than the first half, and he's obviously got the backing of Wayne Bennett. So I liked what I saw. He was in the beaten side, and obviously his opposing fullback was superb. But when you're looking at Latrell, you're looking for involvement. That's what you want. And it's not necessarily been his game. You know, he's not a volume player. He's an explosive moment player. And as a modern-day fullback, certainly in the first two games he played, 6 and 10 carries wasn't enough. So I liked what I saw last night, and you'd think that he'd be better again next week, and it's going to be a process. So, as you point out, I thought the effort was there, and with Latrell, if the effort's there, we just know how much talent he's got. Yep. There are going to be some good things come from that.
Wayne Bennett said he will stick with him at fullback. Do you think he should?
I'm not going to argue with him. I think he's only coached 842 games or something. You think he probably know by now. And you know, he's very bullish in that regard. They bought him as a fullback, so I'm happy to sit back and watch it unfold and
you've got to give it a jig. I think you still got to give it an opportunity. We've seen that sort of today with the Illawarra, the St. George Illawarra Dragons, and we heard at the start of the year that Zach Lomax was going to be the fullback, and after a couple of losses now we see that he's been moved on and Matt Dufty's back in there, and I think sometimes you just got to give these guys an opportunity. Mm. It's a tough position to play fullback, especially if you're coming from another role, centre or wing, and it takes time to adjust, and not just adjust to the physicality of the new position, but the combination with the players that you're going to be around is important as well. So you need all those things to fall into line. It's not going to happen overnight.
We said last night the way that the fullback position has evolved, you used to be just the last line of defence. Now you are that as well as expected to organise the defence. Yeah. And with the football, you just used to have to return the ball strongly, which you still have to do. But now we expect you to play like a second 5/8 as well and have a selective passing game. Yeah. So it's...
While you're the fittest player in the club as well. You know, the most contact than any other player with the ball.
Not comparing Latrell to James Tedesco, but when Teddy went from the Tigers to the Roosters, he wasn't changing positions, but because he was at a new club and there were new combinations, that first month or so, he wasn't fantastic. And everyone was saying, oh, a Cooper Cronk and James Tedesco really as good as we thought because they're a bit rusty. Mm. But it just took time to adjust to the players around them. Yeah. So I think definitely got to give Latrell more time.
I think Sam Burgess is going to have to be on the panel next week. He's the only other guy that's going to fit into these headphones. Fletcher's broken these. Like the size of his melon, I've come to put them back on and they've just slid straight over my ears.
Absolutely. All right, the Warriors and the Dragons at Central Coast Stadium. 3 o'clock is kickoff. Gee, I hope the Dragons do come up with a performance this afternoon. And it's not just the fact that I do love the red and whites, but the pressure that is on Paul McGregor, and I don't want the season to immediately be sack Paul McGregor, it's all over after, you know, I'm excited about footy coming back. I'd like to see them put up something this afternoon. And I think, you know, you talked about Matt Dufty. Apparently he's been training the house down and they couldn't leave him out at fullback. Zach Lomax, as you say, does go into the centres. The Dragons, it is crucial though, they're 0-2, that they do something immediately.
can't believe you're sitting there saying, "Oh, gee, I hope the Dragons."
Yeah.
What about the Parramatta the Warriors? Games, what have they gone through? Yeah. At least the Dragons' families are close.
Well, and aren't you supposed to be positive about the Dragons?
What, that was as positive I've been for some time now. Is that not true?
Whether you're a true fan.
The break gives them an opportunity to reset. We saw that, you know, obviously the Titans and a few of the clubs and the Warriors as well. It gives them time to sort of work out, okay, what to come in 0-2, what we were doing at the start of the year wasn't working, and we've had 9 weeks now to put some things in place, as limited as those opportunities were, to change things.
If one of these teams were to play finals football, who would it be?
I would say the Dragons. And I'll tell you why, because the rule changes, I look at a guy like Ben Hunt. He is a running halfback that could really take an opportunity if his middle are up and about and they can get him some momentum. Him and McGuinness, they could really, I think, do some damage in that middle third of the field, you know, taking advantages from tight. He's a great ball runner. I don't think we see it enough. And I think sometimes he gets caught like running laterally and worried about always setting up the play. It might be his opportunity to really stand up and lead this Dragon side in with some new rules around, you know,
so
bringing out his running
play
game.
Will,
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, from what I've seen so far, like, you need to see it for a couple of weeks, but there should be some more opportunities presented to him. There's going to be some big guys fatiguing out there from the Warriors today, and he needs to think run.
I think the return of Cameron McInnes is huge as well. It looked like he was going to be out for a period of time, but obviously, like Reid Marnie, he's been able to overcome. He was fantastic for them last year. Like, and if you have a look at the speed of their defensive line, which is, again, is important, he leads the way, and his contact is really good. He hits and he sticks, and when he takes everybody with him, the Dragons look really good in that department as well. So to have him on deck is also, I think, a real boost for them this afternoon.
Yeah, absolutely. Even though it was, as I said earlier, a little bit painful to see Reece Robson play so well north of the ball. Yeah. he's a great kid.
We spoke earlier, too, about potentially some of those bigger forwards. Does that bring the end of their career a bit earlier? Someone like Trent Merrin, Paul McGregor hasn't even picked him this week, and he said it was a tough decision, but just wasn't training well enough, and there are others that were. So reputation and previous rep experience didn't mean enough. So potentially it might be hard for, if they have a good game, might be hard for Trent Merrin to get back into the side.
Well, that's what he's after, isn't he? And you got Tarek Sims obviously not playing today, so he's another guy that needs to come back in, and you need that competitive sort of, that competitive nature from the players that are fighting for spots. They're the things that drive teams to success. And James Graham's another guy that's going to be tested the back end of his career, you know, and he's going to have to be, you know, doing the extra yards through the week, making sure that he stays on pace, because the games I've seen so far have been frenetic.
They're not in a position where they can pick a team based on scrapbooks, are they? Like, it's just about getting a result now, and whoever fits that bill can come in and get a job done, because, you know, they're under pressure based on a lack of meeting expectations for a pretty long period of time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what about the Warriors and the other team? As I said, you know, everybody's second team, given what they've gone through, given what they're giving up so that this competition can go ahead. Family not there, lots of stories within that story. And you'd imagine right here, right now, is when they're going to come out big time. This first opportunity that they have to get some of that frustration out of their system.
Yeah, I think they're like every other team, aren't they? You know, they've just been champing at the bit, waiting to get back into it. The thing I love about this game this afternoon, and look forward to calling it with Gerds and Maroon later on, I don't know what to expect. I don't know what we're going to get from either of these teams, and you know, maybe we could have said that at any meeting over the last couple of years, but with the backgrounds of both of these teams coming into this game, it's intriguing. And the Warriors, look, you know, things that they've gone through can galvanise sides. Some players will handle it better than others. But I got a feeling that, you know, it will have brought them together. And I, if I'm the Dragons, I'm expecting the Warriors to come at them really hard early on in this game, because, you know, they really created, even whilst everybody's embraced them, it is still a real us against them mentality. Like, they're the ones who put themselves out more than anybody else, realistically.
Yeah.
And even if over the first few weeks we see good performances from the Warriors, you wonder whether how long that lasts, just because being away from family for that long would have to take a massive toll. Because you had some players even saying that if they had, you know, the likes of even interstate players saying if they had to come to Sydney, they might not do it. But they've left their families over in New Zealand, and up until round 10, that's when the NRL will reevaluate, look at what governments are allowing. So at least for the next 7 to 8 weeks, they're going to be here without their family. So
gee, with the way my 10-year-old's been behaving, you know, sounds good.
You might get a game, Tony. You might Phil Masilla and yourself.
For the Warriors or the Dragons? They might both give you a call.
Yeah. So who are you tipping, Gerds?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Dragons today. I think the Warriors, they got some pretty good sharp halves as well. Nick Arima comes back into the side, so they've left, Harris Tevita out. And I like Wade Egan. I saw him sort of come through that system out there at Penrith. He's a great runner of the football, and he might get some opportunities today as well. And then another young guy, Katawa, he'll start for the Warriors today. Now, you hadn't seen much of him before this year, but the opening couple of rounds, he was a standout for him, and he'll come into the back row, and it's a decent-looking pack. I just think, though, it's been probably a tough month for them. There might be a little bit of emotion involved. Don't expect any favours from any NRL club when you come out here. I mean, it's all everyone's going to wish you the best, but once you cross that white stripe, and the chips are down, you're not going to get too many favours, and I just think, the Dragons might get it today.
I'm going the Dragons too. Just the fact that, big month for the Warriors. Dragons under more pressure, and I love the fact that Cam McInnes is back.
I've gone the Dragons. I'm sorry to put the mock on them like that, but I'm a fan of Hunt and Norman. I think at their best they can be the difference in a game like this. But again, I really don't know what to expect, and that's why I'm really looking forward to it. If the Warriors won and won comfortably, that wouldn't surprise me either.
Tony, do you tip the Dragons every week? Do you tip with your heart or your head?
No. I often tip against them because then I'm a winner either way. If they lose, at least I've got my tip right.
Yeah.
I'm very, very shallow, aren't I?
No, I know exactly. I know where you're coming from because you can sit there during a game knowing that I tip them, so that's if they do win. I don't really want them to, but if they do, it's a plus point. But if my team win, I know exactly where you're coming from.
Win, plenty of other games to get to here on the Saturday Scrum.
Triple M, Saturday Scrum for Kim G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Nice to be with you on a Saturday afternoon. Peter Sterling is here alongside Gerds. Emma, I'm Tony Squires. We spoke to Reedy a little bit earlier, Sterlo, and we spoke to, of course, Andrew Abdo. We're talking about Bronson Sherry. Now, Andrew said that while they had spoken to Asada, he wasn't able to say what information they received in terms of why there was such a massive delay between testing and that result, which sadly came on the eve of the resumption of the premiership. What have you made of the whole scenario?
I don't have a drama with that. I don't know their protocols. Can we be critical of them releasing it 2 days before the season starts if that just happened to be when it was supposed to be? We can't be critical unless we know that for certain, that they held it back. So, and if there isn't a breach, we don't have to worry about those kind of announcements. So I don't have a lot of sympathy here. What I have to say is the B sample has not come back yet.
Yep.
So, we can't, convict straight away, but it's not often that B samples come back a whole lot different. And I think the most telling thing is we haven't had the player involved come out and say, I didn't do it. Mm. So you tend to think that, that this is going to be something that is going to stop his career in its tracks. But I have no problems at all with it. Like, I don't know what they get out of it by holding it back. People saying they want headlines, and I don't, is the organisation that petty that that's the way that they approach this? And if this, I thought it was out of our game.
Yeah.
That's what shocks me the most. I just didn't think it was something that we would ever have to consider again. I was wrong. And, there's going to be a heavy price to pay. The other thing I do want to say is that the reason I don't have a lot of sympathy is that the young players in our game today, the 17, 18, 19, 20 year olds, they are so much better educated in regards to the possible pitfalls in life than your 17, 18, 19, 20-year-old in normal society. There is no excuse.
Yep.
You know. And eventually it comes down to a decision of knowing the difference between right and wrong. And if you make that wrong decision, I have no sympathy.
I think one of the reasons a question was asked about the timing is just because if you go back on previous examples like the James Seguiaro one not so long ago, that only took about a month or around about that as opposed to 5 or 6 months. So I think that's why questions were raised. But I agree with you. At the end of the day, if there was no offence, and then there's no reason to talk about timing at all. So.
Yeah. Yeah, just sad. The sad images, as everybody played, and the sound of his conversation when he made his first grade. We learned he was going to be in first grade with the family.
It's terrible. You know, obviously the young bloke, you know, had, I know we've heard it before all week, you know, the world at his feet, and he did, but, you know, it's...
I just can't understand it.
No, and that's a difficult thing as well. But when you sign an NRL contract, part of the thing that you sign is you're saying that you will grow up quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he's a young player, but you've got to grow up quickly in this game.
Do you? Is that true? I mean, I've always seen a team often as a ticket to eternal adolescence. Things are done for them all the time. You know.
Well, that's the flip side, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's right. And you know, that's always been a concern in the game for myself. Is that you know, a lot of young players, and not talking about anyone individually here, but a young players tend to be spoiled at school because they're elite sportsmen, and that just you know, that just happens. When they leave school, they get a lot of money thrown at them. You get paid on potential more than performance now. And I think that's a concern because that can take a little bit of hunger away. And they don't understand ramifications because they haven't had any.
Yep.
And that, you know, sometimes, you know, they'll do something and they think it will be all right because it always has been. So I agree with you there. But again, it's no excuse.
No, definitely. All right, well, to the big story, though, the virtual crowd. We began the show with the virtual crowd, much to Ryan Girdler's disgust.
Okay. Sure. That's a strong term.
They're outspoken. They don't
that's
like
a strong term.
Do you, yeah, as a caller, what do you think? Do you want to hear just the big hits?
I want to turn the sound effects up and let the game speak for itself that way. I like it. The first two rounds, that's what we had. And I
give him
was,
the man.
I thought it was fantastic. I want to simulate the game as much as possible, but you know, look, we lost our opportunity when we didn't go down the path of blow up inflatable dolls with dubious backgrounds.
Are you going to campaign for the dolls at round four?
To be there, there's you know, that's not an opportunity missed. I don't know what is, but I like the sound of the game. I like to hear the contact, the physicality of it. That sells it better than anything.
But also. Gertz was saying he liked the sound of the contact, and you watched it on Nine. Nine did have some crowd noise. So what's your argument?
Well, my argument, if you would have been paying attention early on, was the fact that we get a feed, and I'm not sure whether that feed is what goes to the audience because we're downstairs in a studio.
Are you sure you don't watch
I was downstairs in a studio, no. Yeah, 100%.
I didn't listen earlier. I apologise, Zach, because I was doing something much
races are on, more important. Get that.
So, thank you. Best thing of the double.
Yes.
So what did you like or not like?
I liked that. I actually liked and Joey, during the commentary, I mean, it was actually spoken about quite regularly but by the guys. I liked the sound of the game. I thought it was brutal last night.
Yeah.
And I know we had a little bit of that in rounds one and two, but for some reason last night, maybe it was just the intensity of the Roosters and the South clash, but yeah, I thought it was unreal.
The only thing is when you get those couple of lulls when not much is happening, it can maybe feel a little bit boring and you need to amp it up a bit with some crowd noise.
You put on Sweet Caroline in the crowd and away we go. That's a winner all round, isn't it?
Sharks, Tigers, who wins?
Tigers.
Tigers?
Tigers.
Tigers win that game. Obviously, Josh Dugan gets his opportunity. Interesting to see how he goes. And tonight, looking forward to the Storm and the Raiders.
Yeah, I like Melbourne at home. It's always a good combination.
Melbourne.
Does this count as a first round game? Because Craig Bellamy hasn't lost a round one game in a hell of a long time.
Doesn't count. It's
but they've
three.
Had 9 weeks off, so it almost needs to come back into a round one game. So they'll be well prepared. I think they'll get the money. The Storm.
They'll be primed. All right. Sadly, that is where we have to leave you. A big thank you to Brian Fletcher for coming in. Peter Sterling, as ever, you're ready to call the game. And thank you to our friends at King G. Remember, Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.